Let's be sure we're in fellowship. It helps a lot. We were dealing on page 5 of your notes of the doctrine of the eternal state. Why is this important? Well, you've all spent a lot of time in grade. You know that automatically. It's a part of the plan of God. The book of Revelation is interesting in that it's one book that says, don't distort this book. I'm paraphrasing. And there's double blessing for the person that teaches it right. It's in the early going of the book. It's not that it's more important than any other book in the Bible, more the Word of God or anything like that. It's just that because of the nature of it, it deals with the church age in the seven churches. It deals with the ongoing events of the tribulation. That takes up a good portion of the book of Revelation. It takes up chapters 6 through 19. And then from 19 forward, we move into the millennium and the eternal state. So the book of Revelation is a prophetic book in the best sense of the word. It's all about prophecy. And it's about future things. It's the capstone to prophecy. Imagine how we'd be without it. I can't. It's like the book of Daniel, as great as it is, there's a key to understanding stuff in the book of Daniel that they could have never understood without down the road getting hit with the book of Revelation. He said, seal up the vision till the time of the end. And in the time of the end, there will be information will be put out regarding this book that's accurate. And that has been my prayer and desire to communicate the prophetic scheme of things. No, I won't have every detail. There's so much detail. I could go over the book 10 times and figure out another detail. But I'm not going to, the model is going to hold true. The overall model will hold true. It's just that for the individual who's listening to this, there is a lot of data, period, to assimilate. There's a lot of background information and doctrine that a person needs to begin to even get into it and make sense of things. And we've had those advantages. The advantage of that we are dispensationalists and not ashamed of it. Without dispensations, the different ages and the separate doctrine, salvation is the same in every dispensation. The rituals change. We can change the rituals up. We can set aside the old ones and put new ones in its place, like with the church age, Lord's table, and water baptism. Age of Israel, they had so many different things that were ritualistic just to keep up with them. I'm glad we don't have to do that. Frankly, I am very glad we don't have to spend our time cataloging all this, doing all these offerings and all the other stuff that they had to do. If you just read the law of Moses, but the average person, if they want to be compliant in God's will, we don't. I don't want to use this in a bad way, but we've been set free from all that. With the reality coming, we've been set free. We have minimal compared to them ritual to comply with. We might throw in ordination, laying on of hands, but that's it. How often do we do that? So the book of Revelation, broken down, as I said, there's the introductory chapter that sets the stage. And then there is the chapters that deal with the seven churches of Asia Minor. Seven bona fide local churches that were caught in time in around 96 to 98 A.D. Well into the apostolic era, towards the end of the era of the apostles. And each of those churches represents seven phases of the church age. And the last one, Laodicea. Laodicean Christianity. You have, and that is the lukewarm, prospering, principally Western churches. I see them I see the little rinky-dink ones. I see the little this and that. And I see these big ones, monster ones out there. But they're not interested in sound doctrine. Their pastor wouldn't stand a snowball's chance, and you know where, if he got up there and taught the U.S. in prophecy in a lot of these churches. He wouldn't. And if there's anything clear in prophecy, it's that the U.S. is in prophecy. Well, ask Cal Lindsay, you don't know who he is, but some of you might, about it. Well, I just think it's not important. That we won't be important. On the contrary. An end time entity that is built on immigration and is an economic world power. Well, I wonder who that is. Who would be your first choice for a prize of $10,000? Write it on a piece of paper and seal it, and it will give you $10,000. You'd write America in a heartbeat. Because there's no other nation. There's other prosperous nations. But it's not. They weren't built on immigration. We got the Statue of Liberty out there to prove that. That's the symbol. That's the ultimate monument. Not those other monuments in this country. It's the ultimate monument. The woman facing east. Bring me your poor. Bring me your this. It did have some meaning back in the day. People fled oppression in countries, came in here. I like to see some of the old pictures. Bringing their kids, everything, coming in here from these other countries. With nothing more than the coat on their back to start a new future. To get away from whatever was going on, wherever they come from. You can't go hardly anywhere today and not see some nationality in the United States. They just pop up all the time. And just in my small exposure to humans out there, Jordanian, Pakistani, this and that. Of course, Asians, every other nail salon. Because they're good at it. And I mean that. So you got that, you got all these others. What's his name? Sergio. He's Russian. Selling clothes over there, yeah. So they're from all the countries. We had specific neighborhoods in the big cities. This is the Jewish quarter. This is the Irish quarter. This is blah, 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 blah. And that our different states, the Germans, Dutch, all around. So this country was built on immigration. The native people were American Indians of the various tribes. So what other nation? And the verse that says the nations will no longer stream to her. Okay? It's going to be reverse immigration. When the rapture occurs, an announcement to get out of the United States and save yourself from destruction. If you're going to want to be in the directed will of God, don't want to die in a nuclear holocaust, then you have to go through the inconvenient, and it'll be highly inconvenient for people, to try to scrape together enough. I think God's going to provide a way, though. I think he's going to provide a way for people to jump a ship, jump a plane. I mean, you could just walk south through the Mexican border and just keep walking. That does sound attractive, does it? But it's this slap in the face. And basically, the Jews who will come to faith, they're gonna boil out of the United States. And there's verses I have on this. I don't make this up. They will be declaring in Zion, great is the one who judges her. So indicate to me that they're not just like the Jews today that say they believe the Bible, Old Testament, is the Word of God, and they uphold that, but they've rejected the identity of their Messiah. These will be that this is when the thing will flip and God will remove blindness from Jacob, Jacob is a reference to corporate Israel because he was the father of the 12 tribes. And so it becomes a title for the whole nation. I will remove blindness from Jacob. The lights are going to come on for the Jews, worldwide and in Israel. And it's going to cause a big polarization between the Jews. It did back in the early church. It's going to again. A big polarization. Father against son. This and that. Family antagonism. Because they're going to face up to their long history of negative volition to the core of it all. Who is the Messiah? They're going to get out of here. We get out the easy way. Liftoff. We get out the easy way. Don't have to pack any bags. Don't have time to. All these nations are in prophecy. It's all gelling together. Notice that Russia, with the countries that are anti-Russia right now, U.S., the European Union, what a joke. The European nations, including Poland, the Poland and the Russians never really did like each other. Their antagonism to each other, and they're on the same border, go back for centuries. But anyway, who's Russia aligning with? Iran, Turkey. Russia was against our bombing of Libya. Libya is mentioned in Scripture. North Africa. That's Libya. And Turkey, Togarma. And Persia is Persia with its modern name Iran. And those nations will come together and attack Israel in the tribulation. I have it pegged at shortly after the first half. It's not Armageddon. Armageddon is a separate final event. So Russia is aligning with those countries. Christian Russia. I mean, it is. They got the Russian Orthodox Church, blah, blah, blah. So, and Putin, at least verbally, we're not antagonistic to Christians. We're not antagonistic to any faith, but we're not going to promote any of them either. And we're going to try to be even-handed. Whether they are or not, I don't know. But they align themselves with, this sounds like a contradiction in terms, communist Muslims. That's not all the Muslims. That's the Iranian crowd. They are a particular nasty breed of individuals. There are Christians in all these countries. Here and there, scattered around. Be glad you're not a Christian in a country like Pakistan. Guess what? If you don't like your neighbor and you're a Muslim, you can go and go before the authorities and say, they spoke ill of the Prophet Muhammad. They killed a Christian mechanic for this. Because he had a Muslim cousin and he wanted to balance the wheels on his motorbike, and he did it, and the guy wouldn't pay. Because he was something in religion, and so he didn't have to pay. The guy said, no, you do. So he went and tattled on him and told the authorities that he had badmouthed Muhammad. What this does in those countries, the authorities always side with the person that makes the accusation. Always. Almost universally. Even if it's contradictory. Even if they don't care. And so this guy was put in jail for 5 years, and then at the end of the 5 years, they hung him. He's a Christian. So if you want to take somebody down, just say, hey, we heard him say bad stuff about it. Either the authorities will do it, or it'll form a mob. A mob will form. And they're like fanatics. And they come down and storm the person's house, take their life. That's what it's like to be a Christian in Pakistan. With a Muslim thing. With the Muhammad thing. Well, he's in heaven. You know, all he said was, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, good for him. All they can do is take his life. But of course, this doesn't get reported, this type of persecution. Christians are on the short end of the stick today. They promote all this other nonsense. But that's what's to be expected, people. That's what is to be expected. Think of the hatred that's going to happen in the trib, but they can't hide any of it. That's what I like about, one of the things I like about it. Well, first you have angelic announcements, which everyone has to hear. And then you have, they're backed up by the rapture. Explain that one away, dummy. You got some nifty little way to explain where all these people went and left their clothes neatly behind and all these empty graves where the remains of people are and they're... What? This grave is disturbed and the coffin's empty with any bones or anything and this one is still intact and it's this way. It's... Over this, all over a particular cemetery? Huh. And the Antichrist hits the ground, running. And people's heads are just going to be spinning. It is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And then, the two witnesses. They're going to hit the ground in the Middle East, Moses and Elijah. And they're not just two prophets out there in the wilderness where John was, the Baptist, that we can all ignore. No, they're bringing environmental judgments. And they're referring to Jesus Christ under the title the Lamb. So the human race is calling him the Lamb. I can prove it. When that one sealed judgment hits, that they think it's the end, and people are running and hiding in the rocks and the caves, and said that they want the rocks and caves to fall on them so they can be delivered. I mean, they're stupid. This is a stupid statement. Like rocks and things can deliver you from the wrath of God. That they will fall on so that we will not have to deal with the wrath of the Lamb. Really? They'll call him the Lamb. I think that's funny, isn't it? And the other guy, he gets a bad name. He gets a big, I can't say the word. I can, but I can't. He's the beast. He's the beast. Oh, that's a tough one, right? Well, guess who? A lamb is going to take this beast down. Second Advent, Jesus Christ will take the Antichrist alive, along with the false prophet. They won't be destroyed until he takes them alive. And he takes those two fellows. And they're the first ones to enter the lake of fire. Like I've said, wherever that is, you have any clues, let me know. Where is the lake of fire? I know where hell is. It's down in the center of the earth. But where the lake of fire is, Jack doesn't know. But it's a real place within the infinite space. He is thrown into the lake of fire. Just the two of them. Because these two fellows had a previous life. And whenever Alexander died, and whenever my guess for the false prophet, Nostradamus. Whenever they died, if it's Nostradamus, I'm not being dogmatic, I am about Alexander. Anyway, they spent all this time in hell. All the centuries of their lives, they've been in hell. They're pulled out of hell, their souls were pulled out, they're resurrected and put back on their feet, and away we go. Everybody, it's an unbeliever, will spend some time in hell. Some people, just a little bit. Those that are killed at the end of the millennium, they go in and back out. Because all unbelievers will be resurrected. And to resurrect a person, you've got to take their remains, plus their soul, and hook them back up again. As mind-boggling as that is. Someone whose ashes are scattered all over the seven seas. He'll pull it all together. It's no more difficult for him than somebody neatly laying on a morgue table. You're going to see the power of God. What he's going to do. So the book of Revelation is divided into these three major sections. And the final section deals with the millennium and the eternal state. We need to have some insight with regard to the eternal state. We know where we're going to live. We're going to spend time. Doesn't mean we can't leave the city. It means this is our domicile. The city that's 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles. High, wide, so forth. With all the foundations and those monster gates with that are a tunnel going through a 260-foot, some kind of gold wall. Classy. You're gonna think classy? Expensive? But it's going to mean something. It's going to mean something. All right. Final observations. Resuscitation is never a problem. And I probably shouldn't use that word. I was corrected on it by a believer, and I appreciate it. You resuscitate someone, it's like they're not dead yet, but they're going to be dead if you don't get the water out of their lungs or whatever it is you're doing. Get the bleeding to stop because they passed out. I mean, you go to the hospital and they want you to sign a form. Do not resuscitate. Don't put a boom, boom on someone and get all the rest of it. Okay. So it's probably not a good word. I'd go through here and wherever I've used it. Resurrection is never a problem for God, as he will do it as late as the return of the two witnesses. Humanity propagating forever is apparently not a problem. It is for me, but I'm not there and I can't envisage this. The number of people, when God told Adam and Eve on their creation and their marriage that they were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, obviously, these are just two people. They can only do so much, even if they had a big family of a dozen kids. It's their kids and their kids' kids, and boom, 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 goes out like this. And that was God's plan. But the Illuminati comes along and says, we got too many people on the earth. We need to reduce it to 500 million. Somebody bombed that deal in Georgia. That thing that mimics Stonehenge. They bombed it. The one that has the Ten Commandments of the New World Order. And there's a picture on the I saw on the things. It shows a silver car taken off like a bat out of hell. And they did it around like at 4 o'clock in the morning on the 19th of last month, I recall. They want to reduce. There's too many people. This isn't anything new, by the way. This goes back to Malthus. These thinkers. There's too many people. Well, then you can go first. Somebody said you could give everybody in the United States 1 acre in Texas and the rest of the country would be empty. I don't know. I don't do the math on that one. So to be fruitful and multiply, they don't want that. They want to reduce the population. Well, they can't just come into the street with guns and start shooting people because then people shoot back. And that doesn't work. So we've got to find other ways to kill people off. Guess what that is? And it's killing a bunch of people. From babies on up. Or it's going to get them later. That's the plan. Put a happy face on it. Planned Parenthood. Abortion on demand. I don't think abortion's murder, but I don't think it's good either. An infant in the womb can feel pain. They know that. So, all that mess. See, they did all this junk during the French Revolution. French Revolution was a revolt against all rule and authority, all in the name of the the royals and the French royals really are evil people. I don't know how much of that's even true. Imagine historians making crap up. Imagine the enemies making stuff up. Marie Antoinette said, the people don't have bread. She said, let them eat cake. You remember that one? How do you know she ever said that? How do you know that wasn't made up? By the monsters of the French Revolution. That bloody revolution. They wanted to change times and seasons. That's in the Bible too. They didn't want a 7-day week. They wanted to make it different. Okay? We've had a 7-day week since Genesis 1. It didn't work. They wanted to overthrow every institution. With regard to relationships between men and women, just a free-for-all. It didn't work. It never works. That was the French Revolution. The French never really survived that mess. It took a Napoleon to put the crap down. It took a Napoleon. I'm not saying he was all a great guy. I'm just saying he did a good thing. He stepped in and stopped the revolution. And kicked a bunch of Europeans around for a while. Okay. Some concluding verses. With the eternal phrase will come about the prayer petition, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That'll only be realized in the eternal state. Not fully realized, we take a huge leap forward in that direction during the 1,000 years. But as I said, we still have crime and punishment and sin and negative volition. Now, if a person's negative in the millennium, they're not going to be punished for that then. They're going to be treated just like they are today. Run amok, do your thing, die, and go to hell. But if you commit certain crimes, we'll check you out. And there will be dummies that will. Peter's speech on the day of Pentecost, start up at the church age, what's he speak of, and among other things? Times of refreshing. And the restoration of all things. Wow. Is that the same Peter that was with Jesus? You read his speech. For the royal family, we have Ephesians 2:7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He's got all eternity to show us all this good stuff. He's got all kinds of stuff hidden for us. Forever and ever and ever. It'll never get boring. I mean, if you could eat the best food, drink the best wine, wear the best clothes, you could probably perpetuate that for a while. But eventually, okay, another suit of clothes. I got a person that actually picks them out for me every day. Not me personally, okay. And fixes all my food just perfect and drives me around and, oh, this and that and blah, blah, blah. With a sin nature and everything, is that all there is? Is that all there is? After a while, you get so much approbation. Oh, you look so good. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Rah, 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 rah. I like to look decent, but the thing is, it isn't where you build your happiness. You derive happiness from things, divine blessings. You derive joy or pleasure from them, of course. There's nothing wrong with that. So he is going to show us in the ages to come the surpassing riches of his grace. Surpassing what? Over the best that you could ever postulate with regard to anybody who's ever lived on the earth and enjoyed prosperity and fame and all the things that go with it. Can't touch that. You can't touch it. Revelation 2:7. To him who overcomes, you all know that that refers to a believer. Overcomers. Just a little bit of faith in Jesus Christ and you're an overcomer. You overcome what? The doom of the cosmos. You step free of that freight train bailing down on you, tied to the track. You're off. One little act of faith makes you an overcomer. People are so, how am I going to survive? What am I going to do? Do I got insurance for this? Blah, 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 blah. To him who overcomes, I will grant permission to eat of the tree of life. Here's this tree of life. What good is it going to do me? Because it means that's just one of the little things you get, it's one of the things you get to do in the afterlife. You get to go up and grab a piece of fruit off of those trees that bear different fruit every month of 12 months out of the year. The months will be named after fruit, probably, something like that. Whether it's in Hebrew or Greek or whatever it is in. And that's how we'll calculate years. With no sun, moon, and stars to calculate time elapse, how are we going to keep track of it? Cycles of 12. Cycles of 12. This is number one, this is two, three, and this is 450 billion. This is what we mean by eternal life. We don't mean eventually it plays itself out. All good things play themselves out. Long life and health, powerful nations, they play themselves out. I will grant permission to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. There are there's three paradises. An Old Testament saint died. He went down to the center of the earth in that area called paradise. A most unlikely place to be looking for a paradise. Down under the crust and the earth, the mantle, all the way down. But there was a resort. Can God make a resort anywhere? A nice place? Abraham's bosom? Lazarus? And their souls were in paradise until they were relocated personally by Jesus Christ in his resurrection body when he visited down there and took them up to the third heaven. Which, by the way, is not a million, million, millions and millions of billions of light years away. Crap. It's a distance, but it's not anything you couldn't drive in a car if you had enough gas stations. Now paradise is up there in the third heaven, right over the top of us. The new paradise will be on the new earth. The throne of God, heaven and earth will be together as one, if you will. In Revelation 3:12, he overcomes salvation adjustment. I'll make him a pillar. What's a pillar? You know, there's buildings around the world that are still standing that were built by the ancients. Pillars. And one of the things that was outstanding architecturally and to execute this were these pillars. They're in Athens, Greece. These pillars. This is an ancient temple. These pillars are just standing there. They've been through the ravages of time. Well, they might have to have done some cosmetic work on them and have. But these pillars stand. The ancients weren't a bunch of dummies. They knew how to build stuff. Stuff that lasted. I'll make him a pillar. That means a regular and permanent feature in the temple of my God. And he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of my city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God, and my new name. What? See, this is all kind of secretive. We just have to wait and see what it is. It ain't going to be some ugly tattoo, don't worry. But it's going to make sense. The doctrine can be summarized in three words. Qualified. Adam and Eve were free at any time to eat of the tree of life. But for some reason, they chose not to. Disqualified. Once they ate of the tree of life of good and evil, they were not allowed to eat of the tree of life. Qualified. Those who live in the eternal city and those who visit the eternal city are permitted to eat the fruit of the tree of life. both resurrected saints and humanity existing in their natural bodies. And in conclusion, today, the 24th of July, since all these things are to be destroyed in this fashion, that's the dissolution of our present world. What sort of people you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.